John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39. We're talking about revival this week, and we're talking about how that connects to the Spirit of God and His ministry among believers, His ministry in the believer. And notice what Jesus said in that last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now notice what the Bible says in the parenthesis in verse 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit," capital S, meaning the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. "This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." If you go to the later part of John, you'll see Jesus promising the Spirit over and over and over, when he has come, he said later on. Let's pray tonight, and then we'll get into this portion. Heavenly Father, I want to thank thee for the work that thou hast done in my heart from the day that I was saved, progressively working in my soul. And I want to thank thee for the meaning of these three verses and how we can lay hold of them tonight. And I'm praying for the power of the Spirit of God who lives within, and I'm praying for that Spirit to minister to the people of God here in this place tonight. I do pray that the general prayers and the specific prayers that have been asked would be answered, and Jesus Christ would be glorified in our midst. We ask it in His name, because we fully believe that He would authorize us to ask such things. And we believe tonight that our Father in heaven gives good things to them that ask. Amen. This little portion, just three verses, I want to give us a bit of a grammar lesson before we go any farther. There are five verbs that form a progression in John 37, 37 and 38. Notice, if you will, Jesus stood here in this last day, that great day of the feast. He stood and cried, saying, "If any man," here's the first verb, "thirst." Then he said this, "Let him come," that's the second verb, "to me and drink," that's the third verb. "He that believeth," that's the fourth verb, "on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow," the fifth verb. Thirsting, coming, drinking, believing, flowing. It's a progression. And Jesus, in the Gospel of John, talked about thirst in another place. You know the story, John chapter 4. He tells the woman at the well there, as he has met this Samaritan woman, he tells her that if you would drink of the water that I will give you, you will never thirst. So what is this, if any man thirst? This is not a contradiction. Can I settle your heart on something tonight? There are no contradictions in the Bible. When Jesus said to that woman at the well that she would never thirst if she would drink of the water that he would give her, that was the water of everlasting life. It was that thirst that an unsaved person feels that can be quenched or in no other way. There is no possibility that that thirst for salvation, that thirst for forgiveness, can be met in any way other than through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you walked in here tonight as an unsaved person, if you walked in here tonight without faith in Jesus Christ, He wants to save you. He will save those that come to God by Him, because He's the way, the truth, and the life. And in every lost person, man, woman, accountable boy, and accountable girl, in every lost person there is a thirst. And the well is deep. But I'll tell you, when Jesus pulls up the water of everlasting life and you take a drink, you'll never thirst again. Once a person is saved, he doesn't have to thirst for that again. But as I said earlier, this is not a contradiction. Jesus here speaks of a different thirst. And I believe that we could say with no injustice to the Bible whatever, it's the thirst for more. It's the thirst for revival. And Jesus starts it out by saying that unbelievably powerful little word, if. Because not every man does thirst for revival. Not every believer thirsts for revival. All of us who are in the ministry and many of us who are involved helping within a church, regardless of what particular ministry you have, you're aware of people that are rather content just to be saved. If I were to talk to the pastors that are here tonight, as well as pastors that may come tomorrow night and Wednesday night, we would find that to be true. There are people that they're just, here's where I am, and that's okay. But Jesus said, if any man thirst. And the idea here is that you're saved and you've seen God do something in your life, and then you moved along a little ways farther and you saw God do something else, and you reached a point where it appeared that your life, can I use the word plateaued? Things just kind of leveled out. And you know, you began to thirst. Thirst is the strongest need of the physical body. You can fast for days, no food. But it doesn't take very many days without water before you're done. The body needs water. And Jesus said, if any man thirst, and the idea is that we really should not go years between times that we get down on our knees with God. We should not go months between times that we get on our faces before God and say, oh God, I want more. I want more. Father, you've brought me to this place, and this place is a good place. But I want more. I want to go beyond this. I want to see more. I want to know more. I want to understand more. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering. I want more. That's biblical. That's scriptural. If you read the passages in Thessalonians and Philippians, where those passages that say you ought to do this more and more. Yeah, more and more. That your love may abound, yet more and more. And the work of the Lord, abounding work. And the grace of God, abounding in your life. I want to ask you tonight, are you thirsting for that for you? Or do you just want that for the other people in your ministry? Jesus said, if any, what's the word? Man thirst. It's singular. Revival in the sense that we are seeing it tonight is so personal that I would like you to imagine you're the only person in this audience tonight. That's what I'd like you to think about. Do you want more? You don't have to be 50 to want more. You can be 20 and want more. And I'll tell you, the people that are 50 and want more generally started when they were 20 wanting more. And some of them started when they were 10 wanting more. But I will say, the more you want more, the more you're going to want more. Because when God works in your life and does great things, and you're thirsting. It's like you've been outside on a hot summer day. Do they have them around here? Hot summer days? You're outside on a hot summer day and mowing the lawn or whatever it is, and you're hot and you're... And you, there's nothing you want more than like an ice cold lemonade or an ice cold glass of water or whatever it is that you like to drink on a hot day. That's what Jesus is talking about. and you go into the house and you run a couple ice cubes out of the freezer and you pour it into the glass and you dump in whatever you're going to drink and you just go. That's what Jesus said. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. If you're thirsting tonight, Jesus said, come to him. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, Jesus said. Thirsting, coming. Just like you came to Jesus to be saved, it's by faith. Just the exact same way that you come to Jesus anytime, in any need, you come to him by faith. You come to him. You come to the Bible. And you get on your knees as you read the Bible, or you, if you're not on your knees physically, you're on your knees in your heart, and you're asking God to open your eyes so that you can see things. And you're saying, Lord, I want to drink from the well. You said, come to you, Lord. I'm coming to you. It becomes so personal. The Christian life is just as personal as salvation is. We often, as Baptists, ask a person, have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? The phrase personal Savior is not in the scripture, but he is as personal as you can be, because it's individual. We see some of these young couples here with children. You know, these children aren't going to be automatically saved just because their parents are. No, each one of Brother Dave Harness's four little children here are going to have to come personally to Jesus Christ. And if you are thirsting tonight, you must come personally to him again and again and again. And he uses this thirst because thirst is something that happens regularly. And the idea is when we thirst, we come to him. We come to him. He said, if any man thirst, let him come to me. Thirsting, coming. Thirsting, coming. Thirsting, coming. Do you realize where people go today for their thirst? You realize how many people have destructive lifestyles because they're thirsty? How far better, how infinitely better would it be if when people thirsted, they would come to Jesus. And if they haven't come to him for salvation, they would. And once they come to him for salvation, then they would come to him over and over and over. Because many of the basic needs of the Christian life are summed up in this one thing: getting to know Jesus better. They're summed up right there. People in this audience, we're here, what, 50, 60 people? I don't know. I don't count well. I get up, 10, 20. That's as far as I go. And my toes are covered up, so I really can't even count that high. But in a crowd this size, do you realize there are people in this room who desperately need comfort? Something has broken your heart. You're thirsting for comfort. Now, you can read all the how-to books, or you can come to Jesus. You realize there are people in this room thirsting for acceptance? It's a big thing today. Thirsting for acceptance. What did Jesus say about that? Ephesians 1 says we're accepted in the Beloved. A lot of people just have never laid hold of that. If you're accepted by him, it doesn't matter if you're accepted by anyone else or not. And we ought to come to him. And you know, it's not just for those internal things, it's for external things, it's for the things that we need in our Christian lives. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. There is a partaking there. It's not going to do you any good on a hot day to run inside and pour the ice cubes into the glass and pour the lemonade or the water into the glass and then just set it on the counter and look at it. It's not going to slake your thirst any more than the Bible sitting on your coffee table will help you grow. Any more than the church doors being open, but you're being at home. No, he said, if you thirst, he said, come to me and drink. Partake. You say, how do you do that? Well, it's clearly figurative language. The Lord is speaking figuratively, just like he did in the previous chapter, where he talks about, I'm the bread of life, and if you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. He's clearly speaking of something figurative, but he's talking about something that has a literal and very real and very powerful application in our lives. And he said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And it means to partake of him. We're partakers of his holiness, the Bible says. We're partakers of the divine nature in Peter, we find out. We're partakers. We're partakers of a heavenly calling. And the idea is that we literally get to take part in him. Those statements of being a partaker have to do with believers. And it's such a precious thing. He said, if any man thirst, and I want to ask you tonight, are you thirsting? Is there something you want? You know, we had a prayer meeting today. Wonderful. Thank God for that. And we're praying for people. We're praying for souls to be saved. And we're praying for the city of Prince Albert. And we're praying for this church and its ministries. But tonight's message is for the person, the individual. Because revival at Prince Albert Baptist Church will be in proportion to the number of individuals at Prince Albert Baptist Church who are revived. And I'll guarantee, you know where it starts? It starts with the individual and Jesus Christ. Somewhere in my faith journey, something came very clear to me. I'll tell you what it was. It came very clear to me in my faith journey about 10 or 15 years ago. When it's all said and done, for me, it is going to be Jeff Farnham and Jesus Christ. And if it's that way when it's all said and done, maybe it ought to be that way right now. Maybe my Christian life needs to be viewed as if I'm already at the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe I need to be seeing my life as if every day I'm appearing before him, and as if every day he's dealing with me, and as if every day he's measuring me. And I'll tell you what that did. It created some thirst for me to be more like him, to want more, to yearn, to pray, to ask for God to do things in my life. And I've thirsted, and I've come to him over and over and over, and I've drunk of him, of his well. Isaiah speaks of the wells, plural, of salvation. Brother Flanders often talks about salvation being a package deal. Once you get saved, you get a whole lot with it. You sure do. You sure do. You get all kinds of things when you get saved. Spiritual blessings, wonderful things, things that God will teach you, things that God will open your eyes to and help you understand. And if you would thirst tonight and come to him and drink, it would make such an amazing difference in your heart. It would. It'd make an amazing difference in your life. If a man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth. Now there's a key. James talks about double-minded men. He said, here's a man who lacks wisdom. He can ask of God. God will give him liberally. He will upbraid not. And it'll be given to him, that wisdom that he needs. But then he says this, but let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, or ship of the sea, wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. The ship is in chapter 3. Listen, when you come to him, thirsting as a believer, yearning, wanting more of his love, wanting more of his hope, wanting more of whatever it is. Do you realize there are people who are saved? They don't have much love yet. There are people that are saved that they have an eternal hope, but as far as having hope in this life for God to really do something, you know, there's a lot of believers that have the attitude, well, God does those things for preachers and missionaries, but not for me. Try him out. Believe. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth. He that believeth. Do you believe God would do something for your life? Do you believe that God would take you from the place where you are and take you to some place that you're only dreaming about, some place in your faith, some place in your journey on this earth, some place in your fruitfulness, some place where God could do something in your life that is amazing? John 15 talks about fruit. It talks about branches that have no fruit, missing fruit. Then he talks about branches that have a little fruit, mere fruit. But then he says, oh, but you could have more fruit. And then he says in that passage, you could have much fruit. And if you go to John chapter 15 and verse 16, you find out you can have maintained fruit. Missing, mere, more, much, and maintained. Fruit. I'm sure there are people in this room that want more fruit. Are you thirsting for it? Come to him and drink. And trust him. Believe. You believed God when you heard the gospel. You believe God when you hear John 7, 37 and 38. You believe God would do something for you. Something beyond what you've ever thought. Exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think. You believe God would do that for you? Do you believe that God is able to make all grace abound toward you? So that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, I like that, all, and all, may abound to every good work? Abound? Oh, we think, well, that's for the missionary. That's for that guy overseas. That's for that preacher. No. That's for believers. That is written to the church. It's for you. It's for me. And God is able to do that, and he wants to. He wants so much. For the people, the individuals who come to Prince Albert Baptist Church, he wants it for Pastor and Mrs. Webster. He wants it for the deacons. He wants it for the Sunday school teachers. He wants it for the pianist and the organist. And if you haven't heard that organ, stick around. Wow. God wants it for the person that's been saved for 6 weeks, or 6 months, or 6 years. Or 60 years. We don't stop growing just because we've been saved for a while. Or at least we shouldn't. I was in a church recently and I was preaching. I'm talking about how Christians grow. And the growing Christian is, of course, talked about in Psalm 1. And the Bible says there he will be like a... And I said the word elephant. And everybody went, what version is he quoting? I said, you know why you got startled? Because the Bible doesn't use an animal. Oh, there are many animals used as examples in the Bible, but not this time. This time it's a plant. And it's not a sunflower. It's a specific kind of plant. It's a tree. You know why God used a tree? Because a tree grows until it dies. A tree will grow until it dies. And you and I are to grow until we die. We're to bear fruit in every season. We are to be the kind of people, the individuals within Prince Albert Baptist Church who are saying, I want more. It's good, it's great for you to come to church on Sunday morning and look around and think, oh, wouldn't it be great if he would go and respond to the invitation when Pastor Webster is preaching today? Wouldn't it be wonderful if that couple would just get their hearts right? Wouldn't it be great if that woman would, if she would just sell out to God? And we're sitting there, and that's the way we think. Stop thinking that way. Get the mirror out. And say, it'd be good if I responded. If I would thirst and come and drink and believe, what would happen? Overflowing. David understood this concept. The Spirit of God came on him. When God took the Spirit of God from Saul and put it on David, it came on David from that hour, the Bible says. And later in his life, he wrote about overflowing. It's a psalm we know well. He said, my cup overflows. God has always been in every dispensation and in every age and with any man, woman, boy, or girl, God has always been the kind of God who said, you want more of me? Come. I'll give you more. You want more? Come. Drink. Believe. Your cup will overflow. Thirsting, coming, drinking, believing, flowing out of his belly, out of the very inner being, out of the very inside of that soul will flow rivers of living water, living water. Where did he talk about living water before? He talked about it in John 4. So now that you have drunk the living water, then you come to Jesus and drink again. And it's not a little rivulet. It's not a little brook. It's not a streamlet. It's a river. And it flows out of you. And wherever you go, people get wet because the living water is flowing. And people can be saved because you are a downspout for the living water. And people can be encouraged. And people can be strengthened. And people can be helped. And people can have all sorts of things happen. Now, in a just a brief personal testimony, I'm going to hand this back over to Pastor Webster in just a moment. For lack of time and for lack of any need to even understand, in the year 2006, my wife and I, with no warning whatsoever, we got up one morning. It was a day like any other day. But by the time we went to bed that night, we were in the deepest valley of our lives. March 27, 2006. And for months, I'm going to tell you for months, my wife and I did not get through a day without weeping. And I don't mean just a tear. I'm talking about we would sit down for a meal and we all had Kleenexes around the table. Months. Well after a year, I was still struggling. I was still dealing. I was still having a terrible time with this. And I remember one day after the homeschooling was done, I said to my wife, I said, Catherine, I said, I'm not going to the office today. I'm going out of town. I'm just going to go somewhere. I've got to get alone with God today. I said, I'll be back. I'm not going to do anything irrational or foolish. I got out of LaGrange, Indiana, drove north to Kalamazoo, Michigan, about 55, 60 miles away, and I turned into a little coffee shop. Brother Flanders will remember when Big B Coffee was called Beaner's Coffee. They got sued because they said it was racist, so they changed it to Big B so they could keep the same symbol. And I pulled in there, and I love these coffee frappes, these blended coffees. Oh, I just love those things. And I walked in there, and I thought, you know what? I feel so broken. I went in there, and I ordered one about this tall. I thought, I need some comfort, and I'm going to get some comfort food. And I got the longest straw they had, and I went and I sat down. There's a long bench with those round top stools facing out the window. With my back to the baristas and all the customers that were coming and going. And I put that chiller, they call it a chiller, on the counter. And I just put my head in my hands. And I began to sob again over the grief and the tragedy that had come. God didn't speak in an audible voice. He doesn't do that. But I will tell you, if you are walking with Him, it is true. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. There was no audible voice, but as sure as I'm standing here tonight, the thought came to my mind, why are you here? I didn't say anything out loud, but in my mind I said, I'm here, God, because I don't know what else to do. Again, the thought from God, I'm the comforter, you know. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm a Baptist. I have a good doctrinal statement. I know you're the comforter. I had to answer that question when I was ordained. Why won't you comfort me? You know what the Lord said? Again, not an audible voice. He said, you haven't asked. And then the verse of Scripture, you have not. Finish it. And I bowed my head. I could take you to that sacred spot today. I could say that's the stool I was sitting on. When Jesus said, are you thirsty, Jeff? Come and drink. And I just bowed my head right there. I don't know if I'd had any of my chiller yet or not. But that chiller wasn't as important right then. I said, Father, I do believe you're the comforter, and I believe right now that you will comfort me. And I want to tell you something. My hair didn't stand up. I didn't get any goosebumps. But I will tell you this. That day was a turning point in my life. The fog began to lift. People saw a change. My wife said, honey, what's changed? And I thought, I don't even dare to say it for fear it's not for real. But after about a month, I told her what had happened there in that coffee shop. And I want to tell you that over and over and over and over in my life, in the whatever it's been since 2006, 12 years, there have been other issues where I've come to God and I was thirsting and I said, oh, Father, I need something more. And I'm coming to you to drink. And I believe that you're the one and you are the only one who can provide this. And He has filled me to overflow. Thirsting, coming, drinking, believing, overflow.